The three of them walked in, their shoes gritting on the dirty cement. Sandy flipped on the light switches by the door, and in the glare of the naked bulbs, the Buick stood like one prop left on a bare stage, or the single piece of art in a gallery that had been dressed like a garage for the showing. What would you call such a thing? Sandy wondered. From a Buick 8, was what occurred to him. Probably because there was a Bob Dylan song with a similar title. The chorus was in his head as they stood there, seeming to illuminate that feeling of dread. Well, if I go down dying, you know she bound to put a blanket on my bed. It sat there with its Buick headlights staring and its Buick grill sneering. It sat there on its fat and luxy white walls, and inside was a dashboard full of frozen fake controls and a wheel almost big enough to steer a privateer. Inside was something that made the barracks dog simultaneously howl in terror and yank forward, as if in the grip of some ecstatic magnetism. If it had been cold in there before, it no longer was. Sandy could see sweat shining on the faces of the other two men and feel it on his own. It was Huddy who finally said it out loud, and Sandy was glad. He felt it, but never could have put that feeling into words. It was too outrageous. "Fucking thing ate him," Huddy said with flat certainty. "I don't know how that could be, but I think he came in here by himself to take another look, and it just somehow ate him." Kurt said, "It's watching us. Do you feel it?" Sandy looked at the glassy headlight eyes, at the downturned, sneering mouth full of chrome teeth, the decorative swoops up the sides, which could almost have been sleek locks of slick hair. He felt something, all right. Perhaps it was nothing but childish awe of the unknown, the terror kids feel when standing in front of houses their hearts tell them are haunted. Or perhaps it was really what Kurt said. Perhaps it was watching them, gauging the distance. They looked at it, hardly breathing. It sat there as it would sit for all the years to come, while presidents came and went, while records were replaced by CDs, while the stock market went up and a pair of skyscrapers came down, while movie stars lived and died, and troopers came and went in the D-barracks. It sat there real as rocks and roses, and to some degree they all felt what Mr. Dillon had felt, the draw of it. In the months that followed, the sight of cops standing there side by side in front of Shed B became common. They would stand with their hands cupped to the sides of their faces to block the light, peering in through the windows running across the front of the big garage door. They looked like sidewalk superintendents at a building site. Sometimes they went inside, too, never alone, though. When it came to Shed B, the buddy system ruled. And they always looked younger when they did, like kids creeping into the local graveyard on a dare. Kurt cleared his throat. The sound made the other two jump, then laugh nervously. "Let's go inside and call the Sarge," he said. And this time,